You're listening to the More Than a Worship Leader podcast. Here's your host, Gary Durbin.
Welcome to the More Than a Worship Leader podcast, where we talk about worship ministry in the local church. Today with me is Yancey, who is a worship leader, songwriter, and producer of hundreds of songs that make Jesus loud. Her Dove Award-winning music is all the things kids love and everything adults value. So welcome, Yancey, to the podcast.
Hey, nice to see y'all.
Or I should say, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Oh, yeah. And I also have my lovely wife, Jenny, here today with us because we're going to talk about something I don't know much about, which is a woman's perspective of leading worship. So glad to have you, Jenny, on the podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, Yancey, it's been a while since we talked. It's been actually about a year since we talked, and I've gotten this first season of the podcast launched. So here we are in season two. So how has this last year been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. Just walking things out step by step and having fun, always connecting with families and churches and just kind of coming alongside them to partner with them. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What does that look like when you partner with churches?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different ways. So within the music that I write and create and the videos that I make, there's a lot of like worship resources that I'm making that a church can take and then go into their different children's ministry areas and classrooms and utilize those songs, those videos, some of those different trainings and tools and stuff. So on one hand, it's that just helping you make worship happen every single week. And then on another level, there's a live perspective to it. So whether that's leading worship at a special kids event or doing family concerts, I do a lot of Christmas concerts or seasonal, even spring Easter themed things, and lead worship at VBS and camps and stuff. So, you know, that's another side to partnering with the churches is just to help their families be able to create a memory that happens to be centered around the gospel. And it's a whole lot of fun doing that.
That's great. Yeah. Now, do you work with churches of all sizes and different areas of the country?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Anywhere, any size, any place, all the things, whatever denomination, like big, small, city, town, all the things. So it's been a lot of fun. I've been making music for 25 years and traveling and doing concerts and focused on kids and families, especially the last 15 or so years. And it's always fun to just go out there and meet people face to face and share my music and just the things that God's put in my heart with them. So,
like I said, I've got Jenny on here with us today because I want to talk to you all about the woman's perspective in leading worship. I think hopefully this will be encouraging for the ladies who are listening to this, and I think it'll be helpful for all of us to hear this perspective. So when you hear that phrase, a woman's perspective in leading worship, you think about the challenges maybe or the advantages. What's some things that come to mind?
Man. Well, I think, goodness, this is like a loaded subject. And I'm like, I think it all depends on the day, the place, the scenario, the leadership. Like, there's so many things to it. But I will, the first thing that comes to mind that I would just say, if I rewind back in time and just think about my journey and maybe some times in life where I maybe felt a little bit of the tension of just who I was and, I don't know, any doubts from leadership up above about my place in that. I mean, I will tell you, a hero of mine that I looked up to was Darlene Check. And, you know, this was back in the season where, like, she was, you know, doing it, you know, like the top of the worship food chain. And, you know, the times in life that I would say any doubt or, you know, concern or, you know, like questioning, just like, where does this fit in? And I would be reminded of her and just the place that she was in, how God was using those songs that she was writing, you know, that she was leading. And I would just, you know, remember, like, okay, she is a wife. She is a mother. She happens to have a job. you know, like doing this. And clearly, like, you know, I believe there's an anointing like on her and a gifting that I believe is God given in that role. And so if I looked at those things, then it was like, well, who am I as just like a human to doubt that, you know, and put my place in the shoes of these other people. And so definitely I would say for me, like she was a hero and just an example that I looked up to realize that, like, yeah, God can call you and he can equip you and he can also entrust many different types of things in your care for you to carry. And, you know, just that perspective of both home, job, and, you know, ministry. And it's a mixture of all of those things. So that's one of the first things that comes to my mind. You know, I think I've been blessed to mostly be in scenarios that this wasn't too much of a thing. I feel like it was more random situations where something would come up and you would feel that tension. But for me, the biggest thing is just like, what has God called you to do? Mm-hmm. You know? And what is it, the thing that you feel like he's equipped you to do and gifted you to do? And, you know, really, like, where is he asking for your yes and your step of obedience? And so for me, that's more so the filter that I want to live my life through, more than even just other staff and leadership, but just where in all of it is my obedience and am I responding correctly? And that, I would say is definitely, I would say that's where the burden is for me.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you saying, like, I feel like if you're responding in obedience and you're doing what God's called you to do, I feel like there's always going to be some kind of pushback too.
Yeah.
With that. So it's like, right. I don't want to say I've had a fight for position, so to speak, but in a sense, yes, more so than I mean, I'm not saying men don't have to do that as well, but I just have felt like that in years past, not so much anymore. So yeah, I would kind of agree with that, but to keep being obedient and, you know, if you know you've been called to it, you just keep doing it. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't want to assume what you're saying is false. I mean, it could very well be that it is more challenging for a woman in the church, possibly in a leadership role.
Yeah.
I don't know about that personally, but I know we've talked about it a little bit. What are some challenges you've had in the past? Because you've served on worship teams for several years.
Oh yeah, for a long, long time. And this is more in the past. This is not current. Obviously, we have a wonderful church, and we're very loved, and they embrace us women leading. However, I do know, I was just talking to him earlier about it. In the past, there was even as simple as like how I was dressed, or maybe how I appeared on stage, you know, but definitely about how I was dressed, even if it wasn't inappropriate.
Yeah.
There was always something wrong with it, or I should correct about it, or should be wearing. So I don't know if that was something maybe that you've experienced in the past.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, okay, if I rewind, I mean, and I started singing so young. So like, and just serving worship teams and stuff. I remember, and I think I was just young enough that I don't even really know the full details, but I know I had been asked to sing in the main sanctuary, like on a Wednesday night for some special thing. It might've been Christmas related, but somehow they were bringing me in there. But I remember something was obviously said about like how much I moved on stage or something, because I remember my dad, who worked at the church, mind you, was very stressed about like how much I was going to rein it in And this is a hard tension for me because I grew up in the modest is hottest era of life. And, you know, I see things on social media sometimes where I'm like, what are these reactions and responses that are before me? Because I certainly never felt attacked or victimized within that. But, you know, like I read these whole things, I'm like, well, there was something else going on here at the same time that, like, I obviously didn't experience or, like, didn't process through that mindset. But, I mean, and you've got the combination of, like, I'm a pastor's kid who also spent a lot of time being on stage at churches. So I think I have learned, I mean, and even to this day, and I don't see this as like a negativity to me as a woman and being feminine or whatever, but I've learned how to dress in a way that I won't get letters, you know, that no one's going to write in. And that's, it's just how I've learned to do it. And, you know, I see plenty of things in culture that I'm like, why in the world are Christian parents allowing their kids to go out of the house wearing that? You know, I've seen things from grown adults where I'm like, I don't even understand why you want to show that off. But yeah, it's tricky because it's like, I know for some people, like, this is seems crushing to them. I think my perspective on it more so is just like, it's a responsibility as well. Like, it's like leader qualifications and whatnot. I'm not gonna dress how Beyonce would on her
morning, you know, absolutely.
Like, for a Sunday morning, like, but I don't, you know, like, I don't want to, I don't need to, you know, so. But I will wear the extra tank top or the, you know, whatever extra layer of clothing to make sure that when I raise my hand up on camera, you know, absolutely, like, nothing's gonna fall out.
Right.
I agree with that. Yeah. I just remember in the past, I mean, I always was very careful, but I think it depends upon the church and probably leadership. That's probably key. And then being probably a little nitpicky. But I know I never dressed inappropriately on stage. I was always very aware of that. So it probably has more to do with the church you're probably in. And
yeah, I mean, and I think, like, you know, it's like I can think of some things that I find pretty silly of even worship teams that I've served on in the last decade where it was like, it was a weird deal. I could be on the worship team and I could lead worship. In every other age group in the room, I could sing the special song, but that being like a female as the worship leader that carries the set was like a no-no. And it's a weird thing because the same church, they would have a guest in that is a female artist, and it could be a special thing, and it's like no issue.
Yeah.
It's your normal week to week thing. I couldn't wear that hat, which was bizarre, you know. And they also, like, it was only special occasions you could wear pants. And, you know, the girls had to wear like skirts and dresses and whatever. You know, like, there's stuff like that that to me, that's just like, roll my eyes, you know.
Well, I definitely will never dress like Beyonce as well.
Thank you. No one should.
I'm gonna make that commitment right here. But when I think about as the worship leader in a church, I can think back to the issue of modesty, and I can say that the only times I've had to handle that is with women. Not, and sometimes maybe not necessary, it wasn't necessary, but it was pointed out and it was something I had to address or whatever.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see that. Now, the next question I want to talk about, and I want just to hear from each of you, when you think about the challenges, but also I would believe there's some advantages of being a woman leading worship in a church. So for the ladies who are listening to this, to encourage them, what would you say to them to encourage them as a woman worship leader in a church?
I think there's plenty of females in the world that naturally can maybe be a little bit more passive in personality. And I think an encouragement I would have is just like, no, like step into that boldness and step into that leadership role, you know, that really embrace where God has put you and get up there and say what you're going to say, sing what you're going to sing, lead how you're going to lead, and do it with your feet planted in the ground and confident, you know, rather than this kind of meek, passive, you know, thing, if that makes any sense. I think that to me is like a big distinguisher. And I think whether you're talking about gaining respect of boys or men or whatever, I think when someone is bold and they're strong, some of that tension that could almost be problematic in that guy versus girl thing, I think the more you can step into your role as a leader, the more you'll be respected and people will respond to you.
That's good.
At least from my own experience.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Jenny, you got something you could share?
Well, as I was just listening to you, it reminded me of just thinking about how women, we make up half the church. So we have, like you said, being bold and bringing what you have to the table and not being ashamed of it. I think that's huge. And just like, I know I've done that before when I've stood up to let the thoughts get in your head, like,
yeah,
oh, they expect me to do perfectly, or this is expected of me, or whatever it may be, whatever the lie is. And right. I think even as recent as just even the last few years, I've had to tell myself, no, God has put me here. And no, I'm not perfect. I know that I'm not the best, but I want to be my best for Him. Yeah. So when I'm standing up there, and if I start having those thoughts, I just simply want to allow Him to live and sing through me. Mm-hmm. And that has tremendously helped me just to be more bold, I guess,
yeah,
so to speak, and to take that place of, this is where I am right now, and this is what God is calling me to do in this moment, especially, and to lead in worship and with a genuine heart.
I have a pet peeve that I want to share, because I have seen this before when I'm on Facebook and some of the different like worship leading groups, and I'll see people asking these questions about female-led songs or male-led songs that literally always make me laugh and roll my eyes, because I think on the like music business, artist side of things, like, it's not that songs are female or male. One of those two distinguishers wrote that song or was moved by the song, and the people in their camp decided, like, this is a song that person should record. And so they record the song in a key that's good for them to sing also. No recording artist is going to be singing in a key that's three steps too high for them.
Yeah.
You know, please know, worship church world. And so it's just, that is the distinguisher of how it happened to be that a female is leading that song on that worship album, or a male is leading that song. And so makes me laugh when I see church people that think like, oh, well, because they had a male on that particular recording, we can only have a guy lead that. No, you can change the key of the song.
Yeah.
And a girl can lead the same song. You know, like I think it's like few and far between and a very small percentage of when you find that, like, no, it really just that song, it works better for a man, or there's a lyric in that song where it's, you know, it's Christmas time and it's Mary talking about being the mother of Jesus, and that would be weird for a man to be saying, you know, like it's a small percentage. So that would be my thing. I'm like, no, like, is it a message you're convicted about? Is it something you're passionate about? Is it a song you personally love and has ministered to you, and you've maybe had some special, you know, private times of worship with, that you know, like, hey, this is a song I want to lead other people in? Like, that's the distinguisher of who should be singing what and leading what. But
yeah. I love that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's
it. Out of the bag, y'all. Like, it's just that Brandon Lake wrote the song, or, you know,
yeah,
that Brooke Ligertwood wrote the song. Like, mm-hmm. It could be the opposite, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then the opposite would be on the recording, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's one of those silly things where you're just like, y'all, people. So that is a pet peeve. And then I do have another little encouragement that I will share.
Okay.
Please
just
do.
for any female that's out there that you know, for me, because I'm not currently like on staff at a church, I'm traveling to other churches, you know, kind of a parachurch ministry organization to partner and do stuff. And so, you know, there's times in life that my schedule is dictated super far in advance before things on our personal calendar get put there. You know, I've already contracted to be in another city and state on that day. I think due to traveling and whatnot, there's times in life that I'm missing a wedding or I'm missing some birthday party, you know, like that just life is happening. And I recently even saw a lady who was on staff at a church in a ministry group on Facebook talking about this burden of, like, she worked at this church. Her son's in seminary. He was preaching his first sermon at another church, you know, in their area that particular Sunday. And, you know, her pastor where she works was not willing to let her miss that Sunday morning to go, you know, experience her son, and just some tension there and all of that, which I totally get, because, you know, I have missed the first hockey game ever of, you know, my son being on his first team because I happened to be contracted to be in Indiana that, you know, particular Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it's just like life happens. And I have shared this verse with people that are more famous than myself and have greater accomplishments than myself. But it's just a scripture in the Bible that I cling to in some of those moments, and know that some of those that are listening today that, you know, had something tied to work or tied to serving at church that prevents them from showing up for something else on the calendar, and the guilt trip that can go along with that. And so just want to share this to encourage. Matthew 19:29 says, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. And so, again, if I kind of circle back to like one of the very first things I said today, it's just, what has God called you to do? And what has he entrusted you to do? And where is he asking for your yes and your obedience? And like, that's what matters. Mm. And if you're giving him the yes that he's asking for, you know, while obviously trying to care for and tend to all the areas of your life, and just this verse in Matthew 19:29 is just kind of a promise that I cling to remind me that, like, hey, there's a reward and I'm not going to miss out on it.
Yeah.
As long as I am walking in obedience.
That's a great word. Well, yeah. Thank you for that. I love what you said about the worship of God and the songs of worship of God are not just one gender dominated.
Yeah.
And that's our God too. You know, yeah. You think about, go back to Genesis 1, we were all male and female made in God's image. We see even the feminine side of God in Hosea 11, Isaiah 66, Matthew 23. Yeah. These are all things that we have to take into account and remember. And I hope that any women who are listening to this that have the privilege and responsibility of leading worship in a church, yeah, that you'll be so encouraged, so empowered. Yeah. And like Yancey and Jenny has said, you know, God has placed you where you are. Mm-hmm. So go for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
love people and serve people.
Well, thanks again, Yancey, for coming on the podcast once again in season 2. Maybe we'll go for season 3.
All right. Let's do it.
It's been exciting to see what you're doing, continuing to love the Lord with ministry and minister to the churches out there. We were talking about songs. I love your cover of Holy Forever. Jenny just led that at our church just this last Sunday. So
it's a special song.
Yeah. And then I want to remind the listeners about Yancey's book called Sweet Sound. That's an awesome book you need to pick up. And then did you want to talk about your new resource that you...
Yeah. So I've got a couple newer things I'll share. Kidman Worship is a series that I do resources specifically for like preteen and elementary ages. And so I've got a couple new bundles of songs, volume 7 and volume 8, have my versions of Holy Forever and Fear Is Not My Future, which I think is just an important song for this generation. I love watching the light bulbs go off in kids' eyes as they're singing those words. And so just quite a lot of worship resources, lyric videos, motion tutorials, chord charts, kind of everything you need, whether you're doing Sunday morning worship or even like a kid's choir performance. And so check out kidmanworship.com to learn more about that. And then also kind of new last year or so is a Christmas musical, Best Christmas Song Ever with Yancey. I did this for Lilliness Music, a choral publisher. And so this is a 30-minute easy Christmas musical with 5 new original songs written just for that. Would love for you to consider that for the upcoming Christmas celebration. And you can go to yanceyministries.com or follow me on social media, Yancey, not Nancy, for more info about those things.
A special thanks to Yancey and Jenny for sharing their thoughts and heart on this subject. I hope you'll check out Yancey's resources and also go listen to Jenny's album In Him on all the streaming platforms. As we've heard here, whether you're male or female, listen to God and take those steps of faith into His calling for your life and ministry. Here's what I said about that in my book. God is calling you to do more than lead songs. He's calling you to be more than a worship leader. If you're anything like me, this may scare you. I wanted to stay in my comfort zone, but as my heart drew nearer to God's, I couldn't stay. I had to be more in the lives of people.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please add this to your podcast list, review it, and share it with others. And don't forget about Gary's books, More Than a Worship Leader and More Than a Band, available on Amazon today.